Today is the day that we celebrate Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. One of the things that I understand now about Scripture is that if I'm not Jewish and it's a Jewish book, sometimes there are certain things that I don't quite grasp. Maybe today is one of them. I understand parties. I understand celebrations. I don't understand a prompt to parade, and yet I'm assuming this is probably what we're speaking about today. A pilgrim is coming into a town, and people are excited that the pilgrim is coming in, and so they have celebrations. This probably was not the only celebration in Jerusalem during this time. Pilgrims would start from faraway places and begin their journey for Passover. And as they would go from one place to the other, people would join together and the crowd would grow. Maybe they were waiting on some pilgrims to come by because to journey together in the larger crowd was security from those that would try to do you harm. Prior to this entry into Jerusalem, Jesus had just been right over the mountain at Bethpage. I remember standing there one time and looking toward Jerusalem. And as I was there, I remember somebody saying, "Look, all Jesus had to do was to go the other direction. Nobody was there to bother him." And you remember the disciples tried to encourage him not to go to Jerusalem. But there Jesus reaffirmed his decision, and he went down the mountainside and through the eastern gate. I remember walking with one of my friends, and he grabbed me by the arm and he said, "Terry, this is it. He actually came this way." And he was all captivated in the moment. As I think about that entrance and those who were journeying with him, I think about the fickleness of crowds. My dad used to always warn me, "Son, be careful what you do in a crowd. You'll do things in a crowd that you wouldn't do when you're by yourself. Watch what you do in a crowd." And that gave me guidance all my life. And as I think about crowds, and I think about stadiums full of people, and I think about those on Friday that will say, "Yay, yay," and those that will say on Saturday, "Boo, get rid of the bum, put him on the bench." Those of you that know sports know a little bit of what I'm talking about. Crowds are fickle. Jesus was communicating a message to us on this journey into Jerusalem. People were ready to make him king. We know that. All he had to do was defeat the entire Roman Empire. That's what they wanted. And Jesus again is communicating, look, my kingdom is not of this world. See, I have no army. I have no weapons. I'm riding on a donkey, not some type of steed that would communicate the power of an emperor as it tromped and strutted. And you have seen those in movies, I'm sure, as the king comes in and all of his pomp and circumstance. It's quite a day. It was quite a time. This same crowd, I guess, is made up of those who have been healed, been touched by Jesus. Maybe by some of the children that have sat on his lap. Can you imagine? Can you imagine sitting on the lap of Jesus? Can you imagine looking into those eyes? Can you imagine hearing those tender words? I will, be thou clean. This was the same Jesus that's there. And there are others that are watching, and they are trying to figure out, how can we get to him? If Jesus had a bodyguards, they weren't that well trained. Put it into a contemporary setting, and they would have cameras and commentators asking him, well, are you king of the Jews? There would be all these bodyguards around him to protect him. I remember as a young military person, I went on to the air base there at Charleston. And there at the end of the revetment, right there is before you go on to the flight line, was a huge, huge plane. Across the fuselage, it had written, the United States of America, and a massive flag of Old Glory painted on the vertical stabilizer. I had been taught that any time you see a plane that has the United States of America across the fuselage, that's a VIP. If it has red, white, and blue painted across where the engine is, that's a plane that carries VIPs. I said, wow, look at that. I went inside the wing building and I said, who in the world is that parked out at the end of the revetment? They said, oh, the president is here. Now, this demanded my attention. As the day wore on, I was informed that the president was going to be arriving, and so I looked out onto where the plane was, and here were these cars flying, driving with flags flying off of the end of their fenders on the bumpers, and the lights from the security forces was flashing. People grabbing and running out the door. I said, where are you going? Oh, I've been invited to go out and shake hands with the president. It didn't matter if they were Democrat or Republican. You know, I started to ask, well, which way did you vote? But they were just captivated in the moment. And I watched as the president walked up the steps and he turned to the crowd and he did that presidential wave. You know what it is. You've seen it. I mean to tell you, he looked presidential. I mean, it was something. Jesus didn't look presidential. Jesus looked humble. Jesus was something else. He was the one that said, let the children come to me. He was the one that said, my kingdom's not of this world. He's the one that came to this world to redeem sinners like you and me. We didn't vote for him. He voted for us. This crowd, they are ready to make him king. Britt Blair writes, Woodrow Wilson was president. It was after World War I. He was a phenomenal Messiah-type figure in our world. Wherever he went, people felt like he was the answer. The war had been fought and won to end all wars. The world was going to know peace, and he was endeavoring to establish the League of Nations. A little girl had been told by her mother that they were not going to have any Christmas gifts at Christmas this year because of the economic stresses of what the war had done. And the little girl said, oh yes we will, Mother. Woodrow Wilson's coming to our country. He'll fix it. When in about a year's time, his League of Nations concept fell apart. Criticism began to mount so severely that his health began to deteriorate. In the next election, his party lost. It's my understanding he was defeated. His presidency was over. And we stand here this Sunday, and we think about this crowd, knowing that from here Jesus goes into the temple and he says, you have made my house a den of thieves and robbers. We are here today thinking about what Christ calls us as his body, the church, to be. We join with those in these great celebrations that we have proclaimed already this day. But a week's coming. When all of the disciples are going to flee. As we face this week, the question is, now what? Now what are you going to do about this Jesus? Are you going to flee during this coming week as they did? Are you going to turn your back during this coming year? Are you going to use this week as a time of renewed commitment and dedication? Lord, I know what happened. Forgive me. Give me strength. Give me courage to embrace my humanness and to accept your power as it strengthens me and touches us to be your body, to be your church right here, right now. Amen.